Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Let me start here by reading from the Passion Translation. To start out, this is Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2 from the Passion. It says, "As for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds." And he's speaking, of course, of what's written in Hebrews chapter 11, which are these heroes of the faith, people, saints, brothers and sisters who've gone on before us. They encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and every sin that so easily we can fall into. So we need to let go of those two things, the wounds and the sin. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out for us. The path is already marked out for us to run. Isn't that incredible? We just have to lay aside any type of wound. And man, the enemy, we've been talking about wounds here lately a lot. It's what the enemy tries to use to keep us from moving forward and doing what we're supposed to do. And of course, sin is one of those other traps. It's like one of those sinking sand type pits that keeps us from where we're headed, because there's a path marked out for us to run. We have purpose. Verse 2, "We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection." His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. I love it, say it said that way. Because of the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation. And now he sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. In the New American Standard, it says, "Who for the joy set before me endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So Jesus was so focused on what was ahead of him that he could endure the things that he was in the moment. And that is an example for us to live by and to follow, that regardless of the difficulties that we experience, the hardships that come, both the great things and the hard things, that as we focus on him — we've been talking a lot about staying one with him — then we are able to endure those things because of the things that are ahead that he has for us that we can't even really imagine. You know, whether you're mountain climbing or you are getting an education so that you can enter a career, you are running a marathon, or you're in a battle or even a war, or you're fighting disease, any type of hardship, there's that goal at the end that you're thinking about. I see these, watch these movies and read some of history with guys that are in battle, in war, and they've got these pictures of their wives. You know, they're thinking about her. I got to get through this. They've got pictures of their kids. They're pressing on toward that so they can have that relationship when they get through the difficulty that they're in. I remember watching my wife as she had 5 children, all at different times, not at once, thank God. But each one, I was right there with her. We're trying to help breathe and all that stuff together. And watching her and the intensity — of course, I couldn't feel any of that, but I was watching the intensity of the pain hitting her over and over, and pressing through that for this invisible thing inside of her that she has not seen. And then even blood beads on her forehead as she pushed, all energy expended for the baby set before her. All of that pushes through it, and you know what? She rarely talks about that difficulty. It's like that went away in one sense compared to the life that we now have with them. And that's basically what the Bible's saying. It's not worthy to be compared, the difficulties we go through now, for the eternity that's ahead and the things that God has for us that we can't even fathom or imagine. Our brains aren't big enough, our imagination not great enough to even come up with what kind of things God has for us ahead. Pretty amazing. And then it says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, he's made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their hearts. God has set eternity inside of us. When you become born again, you get eternity on the inside. You don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but it begins in there, and it's being birthed, and you'll enter into it forever. It's pretty incredible. He set eternity inside of us. He is eternity, and he lives in us. So we're carrying eternity as we carry God on the inside by his spirits. What he said, he lives in us. It's a great mystery. I think oftentimes, not always, but many times for those who are depressed, hopeless, suicidal, they often have a common denominator of not having eternity on the inside. And so what is right around them in their view doesn't look good. And it can be so depressing if we're looking at the things that are just close by, just temporal, because things often don't go the way that we want. And it can be extremely depressing. But for us, God has surrounded us with the temporal, but he's filled us with eternity. And if our eyes are on those things, we're able to live in the right way every day. And everything then adds up all along the way. Our decisions are different every day if eternity is in our heart. If we're thinking about the life beyond this one, then we're doing things, acting in ways, our behavior, our actions, our giving, our love, our kindness, all of that is for something beyond now. It's what we were made to do. So I like to use some visuals sometimes, and I've done this one here before as well, but sometimes this helps me. If this string represented a timeline of sorts, okay, and that way, let's say, Tony, look toward that wall there. Imagine the string just kept going, unending forever, and that was our history, way in the past, before the worlds were created, before God created a universe, before he created a sunshine and time, all the way back. And then you've got time going this way, all the way forward. For billions, trillions, there's no end to the future. It just keeps going. It can pop things in our brain thinking about this stuff too much. But it's who God is. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He never started, and he will never end. He's eternity. And we are somewhere in the middle of all this, right, is our life. And if I was to take the lifespan of time as we know it, since the fourth day of creation and the sun was created and the clock started, until today, let's say it's as wide as this pen, 6,000 years or so, about right there in the whole scheme of things. And then your life, see it? No, but there it is. All 60, 70, 80, 90 years you get, all right there. It's not much. It's very small. It's just tiny. Of course, you could zoom in on this and there are fibers and things that you can't see that God can. But all of your life, every decision that you make, every single part of your existence and your birth and the generations, the 150 generations or so behind you, all the way back to Adam and Eve, all right there in this dot. Seems insignificant, yet everything that happens in that time, even though there's all this time, everything that happens in that time for you determines everything from here forward. That's amazing to me. Every single thing, all the decisions, particularly choosing Jesus, who is chasing people down and knocking on hearts' doors, and we say yes to him, eternity changes. It says in John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? That whosoever would believe in him would not what? Perish. There are a lot of different discussions on hell. Hell is real. I don't know how long it is, but perishing does mean an end. So at some point, for every person, regardless, there's an end of some kind. For those who don't know him, there's a perishing. But for those who know Jesus, eternal life forever. And so it still is mind-blowing to me that the decisions we make in these moments affect everything forward. And then you couple that with this, the words that Jesus said in Matthew 25 and Matthew 13 as he's talking about the way we treat people. And the way that we love people, we give water to the thirsty and food to the hungry and minister to the prisoners and minister to the poor and to the widows. And the way that we love people, the way that we love the Lord, the way that we shun sin and live for Him. And it says in Revelation 22 that when Jesus returns, which is that day we're looking forward to, looking ahead to, it says that He's bringing His reward with Him. You realize that? We're not just looking forward to His return, we are, but with Him comes a reward that we have no idea what it's like. And His reward is for you and I. He says that He will then begin a separation, right, between sheep and goats. And there's reward. So everything we're doing in these moments that we have, these days, these mornings and these evenings that we get every single day, every single thing counts. How we treat others, who we live for, what we live for, everything counts. And the reward for all of those things, somehow Jesus is bringing with Him, and we get to rule with Him. We get to reign with Him. This is the training ground. This is the school of sorts for what Jesus, how He wants to use us in the future, which is incredible to me. You know, and we have this gospel. I'm so thankful that God has done it this way. It's really a difference between religion and the gospel. Religion is a lot of striving. It's man-made. It's pressure. It's fear-based. You know, God doesn't use fear to get you to where you're supposed to be. That's not what He uses. Not one of His tools. That's what the enemy does. So I always say, I've said this for years with my wife, is the Lord leads, the devil drives. So if you feel driven to do something, you should say no every time. If a used car salesman, I'll use that example, not all used car salesmen are bad, but if a used car salesman says, you better buy this right now. If you don't buy it right now, you're gonna miss the deal, someone else is gonna get it, and you feel this pressure. The answer, whenever you feel that type of pressure, should always be no. Because that's not the nature of how God works. The nature of God is He leads. He says that to His disciples, come follow Me. He didn't say, if you don't do this, your life's gonna be a wreck, everything's gonna be horrible, you're gonna miss everything, you better choose it right now. If you don't right now, this is your last chance. He didn't do any of that. He said, come follow Me. Everything is by invitation. So whenever I feel the pressure, you better do something now, the answer is just no. Because the Lord leads, and He does things by incentive, not fear. Isn't that wonderful? I watched this work out some when Sam said I could use his name here. So this is Sam, my 6'3" son, all right? Sam just about to turn 21. But when Sam was 4, he, more than any of the other kids, loved to suck his thumb. I mean, he sucked that thumb 24/7. If he wasn't eating, in fact, in between bites, I mean, that's a true story. And he played with his ear like this. And his name is the one who hears. That's what Samuel means. So he's always playing with his ear, sucking his thumb. But when you're 4, it's like time to stop sucking the thumb all the time. And he wasn't doing it. So his mom and I were talking to him about this. Sam, can you please not suck your thumb? Debbie went and purchased this stuff that you paint on the nail that's really distasteful. Have you ever seen that stuff? You paint all over it, and then the kids puts it in their mouth. They go, ugh. Well, Sam liked it. just kept sucking on that thing. It's like, oh my goodness. We're telling them, you know, then you see all the, you know, you hear people, I don't know if we did this or not. Your thumb is gonna fall off. You know, all that stuff that people try and get them to, none of that worked. Nothing. Sam, you know, when you're around other kids, you don't wanna, you know, don't do that anymore. No. Constantly sucking on his thumb. And one morning at breakfast, this thought came through my brain. And it was, what if I paid him? So I said, Sam, I'll give you $1. This is me and a 4-year-old. I'll give you $1 if you don't suck your thumb today. His eyes get big. There's money involved. He didn't suck his thumb all day. The next morning, I said, Sam, I'll give you another $1 if you don't suck your thumb today either. He didn't suck his thumb that day. I don't think any day forward. I've never seen you suck your thumb since then. There you go. Cost $2 for Sam to stop sucking his thumb. Not because I said, if you don't, bad things are going to happen and your thumb will fall off. But how about something good happening if you don't? And you see, the kingdom is set up that way in every single area, whether it's sex that's made within the bounds of the boundary of marriage. Everything that God gives to us is amazing, but it has these places, an incentive. Instead of don't do this, this is bad. God says, let me show you something good you can have if you live this way. If you do this thing, it's going to be the best for you. Eternity is this way. It's not that we're going to heaven because we are so fearful of hell. It's because heaven is so amazing, because God is so amazing, and he is love. And as we pursue him, we get all of these things beyond our wildest imagination. It's incentive-based. And he wants us to have our eyes fixed on those things that are beyond here, the great things, sitting with him. You know, we'll be ruling and reigning with him. Even imagining that for a moment, I don't understand what that will look like. I have lots of dreams of flying. I think that's going to happen. When the kids were young, I used to tell these stories. I'd make up these stories about after Jesus has returned to the earth and things, he's got things for us 1,000 years from there to do, like sending us across the universe with the kids and I, and we go flying through the universe to take over a planet that hasn't been subdued yet. On the other side of the, so those are the kind of things we do in heaven. I mean, it could be like that, I don't know. But it's gonna be, the Bible says, beyond what we can think or imagine. We have no idea. So it's gonna be better than that, what I just came up with. In Colossians 3, it says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Ah, there's so much in there that it's just hard to even, I can't describe it. But there's a revealing of us with him in glory, in a glory that Paul had glimpses of. And he also said, there's nothing that compares to this. There's nothing that compares to the glory ahead. Let's live for what's ahead. Let's live for him, not for the things around us. The things around us, they're gonna burn up, they're gonna fade away. They're just temporary. I mean, they're gone just like that. But living for him, that goes on forever. That goes on forever. And the enemy's always trying to diminish what God thinks and elevate what the world esteems. Constantly shove down what God, the values that God holds dear, shove those down. Those mean nothing. Here's what matters: fame, likes, attention, being a rock star, being a hero, here, being rich, all of those things. And the Lord says, man, I've got lots of things that I esteem that are a lot different, like loving people, caring for people, taking care of people. For the things which are not, are seen or temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The way the message says it is this way. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it may often look like things are falling apart, on the inside where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times. The lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now and hear today, gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see now will last forever. So part of the battle is just making sure that our eyes and our devotion are set on the things that are higher, on him. And you know what? If we are not going to get attention, if we are not going to be seen by the whole world, if we are not going to necessarily be successful in the world's eyes, we want to make sure that we are in the Lord's eyes. Because that's the thing that counts, and that's what's going to last forever. All right. Let me just end with this here. as a reminder that everything we do counts. Everything we do counts. As he's got every hair on our head counted, he's got every thought we've ever had noted, every prayer he saves up, every tear, it says in the Bible, is in a bottle, right? All of our tears, all of our prayers, all of our actions, all of our words, all of our kindness. And then thankfully, well, isn't this wonderful? Everything that's forgiven is not remembered. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we can all say amen to that, right? When we sin, when we've done wrong, when we've said hurtful things, and we go to Jesus and ask him to forgive us and cleanse that thing, it's forgotten as if it didn't exist. But all of the other things are remembered. They're remembered, and when he brings his reward, his memory is great. There's reward based on how we have lived, how we have loved. That's why everything counts, every thought, every prayer.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.